This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما Inshallah we'll begin from page number 16 ذكر رضا الله وغضبه وسخطه وكراهيته في القرآن الكريم وَأَنَّهُ مُتَّصِفٌ بِذَلِكَ ذِكْرُ The mention of رِضَ اللَّهِ The رِضَ of Allah. What is رِضَ? Pleasure, happiness, approval. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, He becomes pleased, He becomes happy. With who? With certain people. With what? With certain actions. وَغَضَبِهِ And His anger also. Meaning there are certain individuals, certain actions, because of which Allah becomes upset, He becomes angry. وَسَخَطِهِ سَخَط is also anger, to be upset. وَكَرَاهِيَتِهِ كَرَاهِيَة, to dislike, to be displeased. And where is all of this mentioned? فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ In the noble Qur'an. وَأَنَّهُ مُتَّصِفٌ بِذَلِكِ And indeed Allah, He is مُتَّصِف بِذَلِكِ مُتَّصِف from wasf, meaning He possesses all of these attributes. All of these attributes, Allah possesses them. Why? Because they are mentioned in the Qur'an. So we see that in the Qur'an, Allah has described Himself with all of these attributes. So can we reject them? Can we deny them? Can we change them? No. We have to take them as they are. We have to believe in them as they have been mentioned. And there are numerous evidences that are found both in the Qur'an as well as the Sunnah that prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He becomes happy and He also becomes displeased. He loves certain people and He also dislikes certain others. So for example, in a hadith we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه." Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah also loves to meet him. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ Whoever dislikes to meet Allah, then Allah also dislikes to meet him. وَقَوْلِهِ And his statement, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. Allah is pleased with who? Them. Who are them referring to? The Sahaba, the companions. So, Allah is pleased with certain people. Why? Because of their actions. Now remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He becomes pleased with the amal, with the action, and also with the amil, with the doer of that action. So certain actions, they bring about Allah's approval. And certain people, because of what they have been doing, then what do they receive? Allah's approval. What are those actions that Allah likes, that Allah is pleased with? What are those actions with which Allah is pleased? Okay, but give me an evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, okay, that tells us about an action with which Allah is radi. The word radiya is mentioned. Yes. Okay. Hub. We learned about hub earlier. This is about rida. Allah's pleasure, His happiness. When a servant is grateful, does that please Allah? Yes. In the Quran we learn, وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ If you are grateful, Allah is pleased with it. Meaning Allah is happy with that. With your shukr. With your gratitude. Likewise in a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَن يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ يَشْرَبَ الشَّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا That indeed Allah is pleased with the servant. يَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ Which servant? Who eats a bite, a morsel, one bite, one scoop, and he يَحْمَدَ He praises Allah for it. And the servant who drinks a sip, and he thanks and praises Allah for it. What do we do generally? After eating the entire meal, we say, Alhamdulillah, quietly. But when a person is truly grateful, then what happens? That first sip, even after, you know, the whole day of fasting, that first sip, what happens? Alhamdulillah. One bite that you enjoy, Alhamdulillah. We praise people because of what they have made. right? Just the sight of the food, you know, we look at it and we instantly start praising people. But eating that food and enjoying it, the first bite, when a person thanks and praises Allah at that moment, then what happens? Allah is pleased with the servant. يَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ. Likewise, in the Quran, we learn, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Islam as a religion, as a way of life, the actions that a person does, Allah is pleased with that. Likewise, in a hadith, we learn, the previous hadith that I mentioned to you, hadith from Muslim, and this also is from Muslim, that Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Allah likes for you three things. Three actions, if you do them, Allah likes that for you. وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. And He dislikes three other actions for you. فَيَرْضَى لَكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He likes for you that you worship Him and you do not associate any partner with Him. So this action of tawheed, of ibadah, Allah is pleased with it. He is happy with it. Secondly, وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And that you hold on to the rope of Allah altogether. And what is the rope of Allah? The Qur'an. So when a person holds on to the Qur'an, and he adheres to, you know, with the group, he's with the jama'ah, then Allah likes that. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And you do not become divided. So when people are united, even that Allah is pleased with. Now, the first thing that I mentioned to you was that Allah is pleased with certain actions. And I mentioned to you certain actions which Allah is pleased with. And secondly, the fa'il also, the doer. Meaning certain people Allah is pleased with. So for example, in this ayah, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. The sahaba, Allah is pleased with them. Likewise, when a servant constantly strives to please Allah, then Allah becomes happy with him. When a servant constantly strives to please Allah, then what happens? What did I say? Then Allah is pleased with him. In a hadith which is in Musnad Ahmad, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَلْتَمِسُ مَرْضَاتَ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ بِذَلِكَ. A servant seeks the pleasure of Allah and does not cease to do that, meaning continuously. He is striving to seek Allah's pleasure. So what happens? فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِجِبْرِيلِ إِنَّ فُلَانًا عَبْدِي يَلْتَمِسُ أَن يُرْضِيَنِي. Allah calls Jibreel and tells him that such and such servant of mine is striving to please me. Know that indeed my mercy is upon him. My mercy is upon him. So Jibreel, he says, Rahmatullahi ala fulan. May the mercy of Allah be on so and so. وَيَقُولُهَا حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ. And the carriers of the throne, they say the same thing. That may the mercy of Allah be on so-and-so servant whom Allah is pleased with. Why? Because he is constantly striving to attain Allah's pleasure. وَيَقُولُهَا مَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ. And the angels that are around the carriers of the throne, even they say the same thing. حَتَّى يَقُولَهَا أَهْلُ السَّمَوَاتِ السَّبْرِ. So much so that all of the inhabitants of the skies, meaning all of the angels, say that, may the mercy of Allah be on so-and-so. ثُمَّ تَهْبِطُ لَهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Then it is put on the earth, meaning this statement, so that the people of the earth also, they pray for that servant, that may Allah be merciful towards him. So when this is mentioned, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anh, from this ayah and the other evidences that I presented to you, what do we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which attribute? The attribute of ar-rida, of pleasure. So we affirm this attribute and we cannot separate it from him. This is sifa haqiqiyya. We cannot separate this attribute from him. It's a real attribute. Okay? Now, remember that he becomes pleased with who? With his servants, those who believe in him, those who are fearful of him, those who are just and fair, and those who are grateful, those who are obedient. And at the same time, on the other hand, we learn that la yarda anil qawmil, that Allah is not pleased with those who cross limits. He is pleased with certain people and He is displeased with certain others. He is pleased with certain actions and He is displeased with certain others. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. He does not like kufr for His servants. Likewise, certain statements. We learn, مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Those words, those people said, which Allah does not approve of. So remember, certain actions, certain words, Allah approves of them. And other actions and other words, Allah does not approve of them. Those actions, those words that Allah is pleased with, does Allah reward the servant for those actions and words? Yes. And the actions and words that he is not pleased with, what about them? Then that upsets him and he punishes for that. Now, remember one thing, that happiness does not mean reward. Reward is a result of happiness. Because some people, they say, when we learn the Quran that Allah yarda or la yarda, radiya, they say that it means Allah will reward. Allah will reward. Okay? Remember that reward is a result of happiness. Reward is not happiness. Happiness is not reward. Happiness comes first and reward follows. Okay? And also, like in a human being, being happy is an emotion. It's a feeling. Correct? And reward is an action. Now, a feeling and an action, they're not the same. They're separate. Clear? So, whenever we read in the Quran that Allah is happy with, Allah is pleased with, we understand that as a sifa, as an attribute. We believe that Allah becomes happy. We believe that Allah becomes happy. And that Allah rewards. Okay? But remember that happiness and reward are not the same thing. There is a connection, but they are not the same thing. Now, when a person realizes this, that Allah is pleased with certain people, with certain actions, then what should we strive for? To attain His pleasure, to attain His approval. So what can we do then to get there, to attain His pleasure? What can we do to attain His pleasure? Please answer, respond, be involved over here. It has to be two ways. Yes. Exactly. Do those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason why He has informed us. If you think about it, why is it that Allah has told us about what He likes, what He's happy with, and what He's not happy with? Why? So that we can do what He's happy with and we keep away from what He's not happy with. Because when you love someone, when you want their help, when you want their support, what do you want? To make them happy. And in order to make them happy, what's the first thing you need to know? What do they like? What are their preferences? So it's only natural that when a servant loves Allah, he wants to know about Allah's preferences. So that he can change himself accordingly. He can mold his actions, his speech, right? He can mold himself accordingly so that he can make Allah happy. And for this, we also learn a beautiful dua. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tardahu. That I can perform those actions which you are pleased with, that you approve of, that you become happy with. Because imagine what a great loss it would be that a person is striving, he's doing one thing after the other, and Allah is not happy with him. Allah does not approve of those actions. What a big loss. So وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. وَقَوْلِهِ and his statement, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. Whoever kills a believer deliberately, then his recompense is hell, hellfire, wherein he will abide eternally, and Allah will be angry on him, and Allah will curse him. Meaning Allah's curse is on him, Allah is angry with this person. Which crime is mentioned in this ayah? Qatl, killing. That is not justified. So Allah dislikes this action. And he doesn't just dislike it, he gets angry because of it. And it is only fair that Allah would be angry with those who commit this crime. Because think about a person who has been killed, you know, for a crime that he has not committed. For no reason his life is taken away. For no reason, the family is deprived of their loved one. He is killed. What does it bring to the victim? Hope. That Allah is angry, He will take revenge for me. So believing in this attribute and not believing in this attribute, is it the same? No, it's not the same. Now what are those actions that bring about Allah's anger? Ghadab. Because in this ayah, what do we learn? Which sifa? The sifa of ghadab. That Allah becomes angry. So over here we see qatl. Qatl. This is an action that angers Allah. Any other action that you know of? Because of which Allah becomes angry? Huh? Okay, shirk. Okay. Now again, verses or a hadith that mention the ghadab in particular. In a hadith we learn, he who appropriated the land of another wrongfully, meaning he takes it away from the other, someone's property, someone's land. How? With zulm. Zulman. لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانِ. Such a person will meet Allah while Allah will be angry with him. غضبان. So taking somebody else's property with ظلم, just because you are stronger, just because you can get away with it, snatching it, taking it away forcefully, this is an action that brings about Allah's anger. That a person is misusing the power that Allah has given him. He is oppressing others with that power. Earlier we learned about ihsan. Who does Allah love? Those who do ihsan. And what is ihsan? What is ihsan with people? That you treat them well. You show favor to them. How? Through your money, through your actions, through your words, right? And also through your status, position, your power. And here we see the exact opposite, that a person is oppressing the other through what? Through his power. So this oppression brings about Allah's anger. And on the other hand, ihsan through that power brings about Allah's love, His pleasure. Likewise, pride, arrogance is something that brings about Allah's anger. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet ﷺ said that مَنْ تَعَظَّمَ فِي نَفْسِهِ أَوْ اِخْتَالَ فِي مِشْيَتِهِ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَطْبَانِ. That whoever thinks highly of himself, تَعَظَّمَ فِي نَفْسِهِ, in his heart he thinks very highly of himself. But I'm the best. I know the most. I have the most power. I have the most influence. I do this better than others. Others don't know. They're less than me. تَعَظَّمَ فِي نَفْسِهِ. He thinks highly of himself. أَوْ اِخْتَالَ فِي مِشْيَتِهِ. Or he walks in an arrogant way. And remember, اِخْتِيَال, you know, مُخْتَال we learn in the Quran. خَيْل is a horse, because a horse, the way it walks, you know, with its neck high and strutting, okay? So walk, such walk that reflects pride, that reflects arrogance. Whoever walks in this way, لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبًا. He will meet Allah while Allah is angry with him. So these actions bring about Allah's anger. So what do we need to do then? Be careful. You know, think about it. If there is any individual who is important in your life, do you care about their likes and dislikes? About their preferences? So much so that, you know, sometimes the way things are kept in the house, the way food is presented, how much sugar is put or not put, huh? Every detail we pay attention to. Why? Because this will please them and this will anger them. And how careful we become, how much attention we give to those details. You know, sometimes children, when they become really picky, then what happens? Mothers become so careful. If I put the food in this way, she's not going to eat it. But if I put it this way, she'll eat it. Why is it important to us? Somebody else who's watching, they'll be like, why do you bother so much? Just give the food. What's the big deal? But you know that if you present it in this way, it will cause a tantrum. And if you present it in another way, it will bring a smile. You love the child, right? This is why you pay attention to detail. So when a person believes in these attributes of rida, of ghadab, then what happens? Then what happens? Then his actions, they improve. Then a person begins paying attention to every detail. Otherwise, every action, you know, it's monotonous and it's lifeless and there is no feeling. Belief in this attribute and not believing in this attribute, there's a huge difference. There's a dua that we learn about also. Amr ibn Shu'ayb said that his father, from his grandfather, that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach the companions certain words that they should say at a time of faza, at a time of fear. And what are those words? أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَالشَّرِّ عِبَادِهِ وَمِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. That I seek refuge in Allah's perfect words from His anger. From His anger. Because what I am suffering now could be a result of my doing something that caused Allah to be angry, because of which my life is becoming difficult for me. Because of which I am feeling afraid. So I seek refuge in Allah from His anger. And sometimes the evil that we face is the evil from people, the evil of His servants, and the evil suggestions of the devils and their presence. So the Prophet ﷺ, he taught Sahaba to seek refuge with Allah from Allah's anger. Why? Because it's possible that we do something that causes Allah to be angry. And imagine if Allah is angry with a servant. If Allah is angry with a servant, then is that servant secure? From beneath him or from above him or from his right or from his left? No way. The next ayah, وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, ذَلِكْ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهَ وَكَرِهُ رِضْوَانَهُ. That is because they followed what angered Allah and they disliked His approval. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Allah nullified their deeds. He cancelled out their deeds. In this ayah, which sifa do we learn about? Sakhat. It's similar to ghadab, but it is slightly of a lesser degree. You could say that sakhat is the first level of anger. You know, it's disapproval. Like for example, a boss getting angry with his employee. A parent getting angry with their child. You can't reverse that. A child is angry with the parent. No, it's always the one who is greater, he is upset with the one who is lesser than him. Why? Because he disapproves of what he has done. Okay? So, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهِ. They did that which angered Allah. What angered Allah, they did it. Think about it. If you like certain things and you don't like other things, and someone doesn't care about that, you get very irritated because of certain things, and this person in front of you, they know that you don't like it, and they keep doing it. They keep doing it. Is that respectful? It's the opposite of that, right? And what does it show? And they don't love you, and they don't care about your preferences. They disregard your preferences. They disregard your preferences. It's like someone telling others that, you know, these are the rules of this place. This is something that has to be done, and this is something that cannot be done. And this person walks in and he's going on doing everything that he likes as if he hasn't been informed of any rules. What does it show? Either they're ignorant, they don't know, or they know but they don't care. And the person who doesn't care, do they love? No. So when they did that which angered Allah, what does it show? They disregarded His preferences. They did not care about Allah's approval, about His pleasure, about His anger. وَكَرِهُ رِضْوَانَهُ, and they disliked His pleasure. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Allah cancelled their deeds. So what do we learn from this ayah? The sifa of sakhat. That Allah becomes upset with certain people. Why? When they disregard His preferences. When they disregard the commands that He has given. When they disregard the prohibitions that He has given. In a hadith we learned that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matika wa tahawwuli 'afiyatika wa fujaa'ati niqmatika wa jami'i sakhatik. that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the withholding of your favor, the decline of the good health that you have given, the suddenness of your vengeance, and from all forms of your wrath. All forms of your anger, of your disapproval. Likewise, in another hadith, which is in Muslim, we learn, Allahumma a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik, wa bi mu'afatika min عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your wrath. Your pleasure from your wrath. That I seek protection with you. That you become happy with me. Because if you are happy with me, then I will be protected from what? من سخطك. Your anger. I seek refuge in your forgiveness from your punishment. I seek refuge in you from you. I cannot praise you enough. You are as you have praised yourself. The next ayah, وَقَوْلِهِ فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. When they angered us, we took revenge from them. They angered us. They earned our wrath. Meaning Allah became angry with them. And who is this ayah talking about? The qawm, Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun. Now notice the word that is mentioned over here, asafuna. It's from asaf. And asaf has two meanings. It means to be sad, ya asafa ala Yusuf. And it also means to be angry. Obviously over here it means to be angry. Asafuna, they made us angry. Why did Allah become angry with them? Because of their constant sin, because of their aggression. So, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. I want you to notice something. In this ayah, two things are mentioned. أَسَفُونَا, they angered us. Allah became angry. And what was the result of that? إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. إِنْتِقَام. So we see that anger and intiqam, are they the same thing? They are different. They are different. Because some people, those who do ta'til, those who say ghadab, sifa, but it doesn't mean that he becomes angry, it just means that he will punish. It means punishment. But the fact is that anger and punishment are mentioned separately. So they cannot be bundled up together, and you can't say that they're the same thing. Allah became angry with them, and then He took revenge from them. He punished them. So this shows that anger and wrath, they're not vengeance. Vengeance is a result of anger. As we say that reward is a result of rida, of pleasure. The next ayah, وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. وَلَكِنْ but كَرِهَ اللَّهُ, Allah disliked, إِمْبِعَاثَهُمْ. They're getting up and they're going along with the Muslims for the expedition. فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. So he caused them to remain behind. And who is this ayah talking about? The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who came up with so many excuses, one lies basically, in order to stay behind. And the Prophet ﷺ accepted their excuses and let them stay behind. Allah did not even give them tawfiq to go along. Why? Because Allah disliked their participation in that expedition. So because He disliked their participation, this is why He did not give them tawfiq. What do we learn from this? That when Allah is pleased with a servant, He gives him opportunities. And when Allah is displeased with a servant, He takes those opportunities away from them. He does not provide that servant a chance to obey and worship Allah. Is there a difference now? Having Allah happy with you and having Allah upset with you? Just imagine, if Allah is unhappy with a servant, that servant will not be given the ability to worship Allah. This is why whenever the opportunity to do good is taken away from us, we miss some khair, whether it is some salah or it is, you know, learning something beneficial, we're not being able to do it. First and foremost, who do we need to blame? Ourselves. What is it that we need to look at? Our actions. What did I do the night before that I was not given the chance to pray Fajr? What did I do yesterday that today I'm having fights with so-and-so or with my spouse or with my children every few minutes? What's going on? I did something because of which I'm facing problems right now. So we need to reflect on ourselves first and foremost. What do we do generally? Where do we put the blame? On others or on Allah, isn't it? But what do we learn from this ayah? Allah disliked their participation, so He did not give them a chance. So whenever we see that we are staying behind, we are not able to move forward, we are not able to participate in good things, then we need to do istighfar. And we need to sincerely repent, and we need to improve our behavior, our actions. So from this ayah, what do we learn? Which sifa? The sifa of karahiya, of dislike. That Allah likes certain actions and He dislikes certain actions. Allah dislikes certain people and He also dislikes certain actions. In the Quran we learn, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. All of these sins, they are makruh, they're disliked. Now, you remember, earlier we learned about Allah's will, His mashi'a. And I mentioned to you over there that one is His kawni irada and the other is His shari'i irada. His kawni irada, okay, with respect to the matters of the universe, the death of someone, rain, snow, all of this, natural disasters, all of this is, it involves those things which Allah likes and also those that He does not like. But when it comes to shari'i irada, then it is all about that which Allah likes. Okay? So when Allah likes a certain action, then He commands that His servants should perform that. And when He dislikes a certain action, He commands that His servants should refrain from that. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. All of these sins, they are makruh, disliked by Allah. And this is the reason why He has made them forbidden. You know where this ayah is from, right? The one that I just quoted. From Suratul Furqan, I believe, after the mention of Ibadur Rahman, where murder is mentioned, shirk is mentioned, zina is mentioned. All of these actions, they are makruh. They're disliked to Allah, which is why He has forbidden them. So again, what do we learn from this ayah? The sifa of karahiya, of dislike. In a hadith we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I do not hesitate about anything as much as I hesitate about seizing the soul of my believing servant. He hates death, and I hate to hurt him. يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتَ وَأَنَا أَكْرَهُ مَسَاءَتَهُ. My servant does not like to die, because it means that the good deeds will stop. And I hate hurting him. I do not like to hurt him. And this is reported by Bukhari. وَأَنَا أَكْرَهُ مَسَاءَتَهُ. The next ayah, وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. كَبُرَ, it is great. مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, anger near Allah. Meaning, this is something that Allah detests. Allah hates, He dislikes. What? أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That you say what you do not do. مَقْت is to be upset at something that you find disgusting. You are severely averse to it. So you're disgusted by it. You're upset because of it. You detest it. You loathe it. This is maqt. So when a person says what he does not do, there's a contradiction between his words and his actions. This is something that is liked by Allah? No way. Allah detests it. He dislikes it. He hates it. He hates it. Even people, do they appreciate this characteristic in others? No way. This is something that completely, you know, upsets you and you don't want to deal with that individual again. Because they have disappointed you. They have broken your trust. Isn't it? So, likewise, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Now, all of these ayat, when we put them together, when we read them together, what do we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That He becomes happy and He also becomes upset. He likes and He detests. Do we need to be careful then? About what? What we do and about what we? What is it that we need to be careful about? Our actions and our words and our intentions and our thoughts, our dealings. Because Allah is observing everything, right? He is observing everything. He knows what we feel, what we think. He knows what we say. He knows what we do, even when we are alone. Sometimes we refrain from certain actions before others. Why? Because we know that they're not going to be happy with that. But we will do them when that person is not there. Where is that place where we can hide from Allah? No place. Even our thoughts, we cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we believe in all of these attributes, then we need to be careful. Just like when a person is important to us, then we change ourselves. You know, it's amazing how women, they will change their entire personality even, their speech even after marriage. Isn't it? The same girl who used to sleep so much before, now what happens to her sleep? What happens to that girl who never washed dishes and never cleaned anything and never cooked any food? What happened? All of a sudden she's taking so much interest in cooking. Why? Because someone is important to her. Life changed. Habits changed. Correct? Speech changed. So many things improved. So likewise, when a person loves Allah, when Allah is important to the servant, then that servant pays attention to what Allah likes and what Allah does not like. And then paying attention to detail becomes easy. It becomes a habit. You know, like in a narration we learn that one of the companions, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade us from drinking while standing. I mean, there are reports that show that Zamzam, for example, you drink while standing, or when it's not possible to sit, then you may drink while standing. So that person, he was asked, that, what about eating? He said, that is worse than that. That a person eats while standing. Now, I was thinking about it. How convenient it is to just put something in your mouth while standing, right? And a person might say, oh yeah, there's a difference of opinion and there's a debate amongst the scholars, so it's okay, you know. And I'm in a rush anyway, so it's just a bite. It's just, you know, half a sandwich. I'll just eat it while standing. But if a person remembers, Allah will like it more if I'm sitting and eating. Allah will like it more if I'm sitting and drinking. Then will sitting become easy? Then what will happen? Where a person is standing, he will sit. Even if he can't find a chair, he will sit on the floor. Right? Then you don't have any excuses. You throw all those excuses away. Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, I mean, there are situations, you know, instances where we see that Prophet ﷺ, for example, or some companions, they drank while standing. But we also see that it is better when you put all of those narrations together, what do we see? It is better that a person sits. It's not like when a person standing and drinking something or eating something, he's not committing a haram action. He's not committing a haram action. But when he will sit down and take that sip and take that bite, what does it mean? What does that attitude show? He cares about what Allah likes and what Allah dislikes. Why? Because Allah is important to him. You know, just as with love, when you love someone, sacrifice is easy. Giving up things becomes easy. And when a person knows about what Allah likes and what Allah dislikes, then again, giving up certain actions, certain words, it becomes easy. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِذَا أَبْغَضَ عَبْدًا, when Allah is angry with a servant, when He dislikes a servant, دَعَى جِبْرِيلُ, He calls Jibreel, فَيَقُولُ إِنِّي أُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا فَأَبْغِضُهُ. Allah tells him, Allah tells Jibreel that I dislike so-and-so, so you should also dislike him. I hate him. فَيُبْغِضُهُ جِبْرِيل. So Jibreel also dislikes that servant. And Jibreel calls, makes an announcement amongst the inhabitants of the sky that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا فَأَبْغِضُوهُ. Allah hates so-and-so, so all of you hate him. فَيُبْغِضُونَهُ. So they all hate him. ثُمَّ تُوضَعُ لَهُ الْبَغْضَاءُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then he becomes the object of wrath on earth also. Meaning then people also begin to detest him. People also turn away from him. People also don't like that individual. So to have Allah happy with you or unhappy with you, does that have an impact on your life? Yes. When will Allah be happy with the servant? When the servant will pay attention to Allah's preferences. And when is it that Allah will dislike a servant? When a servant does not care about Allah. When that servant does not care about what Allah likes and what he dislikes, what he approves of and what he disapproves of. When Allah loves a servant, he spreads that love. When he is happy with that servant, he spreads that approval amongst his creation. And when Allah dislikes a servant, then he spreads that dislike amongst the creation. And this last ayah that we learn here, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. We all claim to love Allah. We all claim to, you know, be doing things that Allah should be happy with. But we cannot please Allah with hollow, empty words. Words are weightless. What makes them solid is what? Action. What makes them of substance is action. Now, the attributes that we have learned over here, rida, approval, anger, dislike. Remember that these sifat, okay, first of all, the Quran itself proves them because all of these attributes are mentioned over and over again in so many different contexts. So when they're mentioned clearly, then we cannot have any doubt about them. Secondly, logically even they make sense. It only makes sense that Allah who will reward will also be happy. You understand? That he will also be happy. It is necessary. And it's not a weakness with respect to Allah that he is happy or he dislikes or he becomes angry. It's not a weakness because those who do ta'til, they said, if you say that Allah became angry, then anger is something negative. Why would you describe Allah with something negative? No, it is not entirely negative. It is also positive. Because think about it, if something wrong is being done and someone doesn't become angry, what does it show? They don't care. They don't care. Has it ever happened with you that you get hurt and you show to someone, you know, my finger is bleeding. And they say, oh. They don't even, you know, say a word of comfort. They don't even acknowledge. They don't become sad that you are in pain. They don't become sad that you are in pain. Somebody was mean to you and your mother doesn't become angry at the other individual who was mean to you. Does that break your heart? Does my mom not care about me? How come she's not happy? How come she's not angry over here? So to say that anger is negative and this is why we do not describe Allah with anger, this is something incorrect. This is not a logical argument because anger is also positive. It is necessary in certain situations. Okay, certain actions, I mean, they necessitate anger. And if a person is not angry at those, you know, actions, then it shows heedlessness, negligence, ignorance. And thirdly, the akhirah is for this purpose, right? That Allah rewards those whom He is pleased with. Allah blesses those whom He is happy with. And those whom He is angry with, He punishes them. So what is the impact of this belief? When a person believes that Allah possesses these attributes, he has all of these sifat, what effect does it have on a person's life? He becomes careful. He becomes cautious. He cares about Allah's likes, his dislikes, right? And he avoids those actions which bring about Allah's anger. And when a person doesn't believe in this attribute, then he will go on doing whatever he wants and he will say, God is love. Right? And this is what many people do. They say, God is love, He is ever loving. He doesn't punish, He doesn't become angry. No matter what you do, He will still love you. He will never ever be upset with you. As if they're saying that God doesn't care about what you do, whether it is right or wrong, He just loves you. Then this kind of belief is also incorrect. Because it leads to what kind of behavior? Not caring about anything. Then if Allah does not become pleased or displeased, then why did He give us a law to follow? Likewise, this belief, it motivates a person, right, to continuously strive to please Allah. And then this belief also brings about this perfect, beautiful balance, right, of hope and fear, love and fear. And you know that Allah loves, and on the other hand, He also hates. He approves, and on the other hand, He also disapproves. Because love alone is not healthy, or is it? And hate or punishment alone, is that healthy? No. There's a beautiful balance over here. Now, also remember one more thing before we move on, that the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can be categorized into three categories. First of all, Sifatul Kamal, the attributes of perfection. And we affirm all of those attributes. Okay? Like, for example, khalq, to create. So He is khalaq. We affirm this attribute that He creates because it's the attribute of perfection. Secondly, sifatul kamal, which are muqayyad. They are attributes of perfection, but they are, you know, you have to restrict them to a particular context. You cannot generalize them. They show perfection, but they should not be generalized. Okay? Like, for example, over here, in these verses, we learn that Allah becomes angry at certain people, at certain actions. Now, yes, He becomes angry, but we cannot generalize this attribute of anger and say He is the angry one. No, we don't say that. He becomes angry, but in certain situations. You understand? We cannot generalize. And this is the reason why when we describe Him with anger, it is still perfection. It is not something negative. It is still perfection. Why? Because someone is doing something wrong. He's killing an innocent. And Allah becomes angry. What does that show? The perfection of His justice, of His mercy towards the victim. You understand? So, likewise in the Quran we learn, the hypocrites, they deceive Allah, and Allah, وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, He deceives them. Now, khidar, deception. I mean, if you think about it, if you generalize it, it is something negative. But in this context, where some people are trying to deceive Allah, and Allah deceives them in return, this shows that they cannot harm Him. You understand? So it shows His perfection. And the third category is sifa naqs mutlaq, meaning an attribute which is absolutely imperfect, and we cannot describe Allah with an attribute of imperfection. So the first two, we describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And this third attribute, okay, which is of imperfection, no, Allah is above that attribute of imperfection. Forgetfulness, ignorance, He is above that. Now the reason why I mention this to you over here is so that we understand that just because Allah becomes angry, that doesn't mean we generalize that. Because some people, they begin to have this belief that Allah is angry with me. No matter what I do, He will be angry with me. And this kind of belief, what does it produce? Despair. Becoming hopeless. Giving up. Right? So remember that certain actions, yes, they bring about Allah's anger. But we cannot generalize. Because sometimes we also, when we're telling someone about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mention in such a negative sense, as if, you know, always frightening children that, you know, Allah is going to punish you. Just wait until you move your finger and you're going to be punished. So they become fearful. So this is an attribute, but an attribute that should not be generalized. And also remember that we are not going to make a name, give a name to Allah from this attribute. So we cannot say that He is the angry one or ar-radi. No, you don't make that name. Okay? Remember that names are all
And names are all tawqifiyya. We cannot come up with names for Allah. Okay? And remember that names, they tell us about attributes. Attributes, you can't convert them into a name. You cannot convert an attribute into a name. From a name we learn about an attribute, but an attribute cannot be converted into a name. So yes, Allah becomes happy, He becomes upset, but we don't make a name out of that. Okay? Because we see that in other religions, for example. For instance, in Judaism, they believe that God is the jealous God. Yes. Now, this is not correct. Right? This is not an attribute of perfection. I don't know what the exact context is, but you know, if Allah has forbidden certain things like shirk, that's because He is one. Right? And that's because He does not like that anyone should be associated with Him, because there is no one that is like Him. So you cannot make from this, the name that he is jealous. No, we don't do that. So from these attributes, remember, He becomes upset, He becomes happy, but don't generalize it. Keep it in the context. Next, ذِكْرُ مَجِيءِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَاءِ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ. ذِكْرُ, the mention of, meaning this is mentioned in the Quran. What? مَجِيءِ اللَّهِ. مَجِيءِ. Does it remind you of a word? جَاءَ. جَاءَ, He came. So مَجِيءِ, coming. The coming of, the arriving of Allah, subhanahu, glorified is He. Why will He come? لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَاءِ, for the purpose of judgment. بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ, between His servants. How will He come? عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ, in a manner that befits His majesty and glory. Now the ayat that are mentioned over here, they prove the sifa of maji, ityan, coming, arriving. Remember that I mentioned to you that some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are khabariyya, okay, that tell us about His that, all right, about His qualities, like for example His face, His eyes, His hands, right, His hayat, and other attributes, they tell us about His actions. Okay, fi'liyya, His actions. So maji, this is a sifa. Which kind of sifa? Fi'liyya, His coming, His arriving. On the day of judgment, when the creation will be gathered together, what will happen? People will wait for the judgment to begin, for the hisab to begin. Who will begin the hisab? Who can begin the hisab? Who can call to account? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people in that great gathering, they will wait for Allah to come and begin the judgment. The entire creation will wait for the judgment to begin, and they will basically be waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. Because He will come Himself to judge between His servants, to call them to account. And what's the proof of that? There are many proofs. For example, over here, وَقَوْلِهِ, and His statement, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ, are they waiting, إِلَّا except, أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ, that Allah should come to them. Allah should come to them. فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ, in ظُلَل of غَمَام, of clouds. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ, and the angels also come. وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ, and the matter is concluded. It is concluded. Meaning, are these people waiting for the day of judgment? Because on the day of judgment, what will happen? Allah will come. His angels will come. And judgment will take place. And the matter will be all over. Are they waiting for that time to believe? If they wait for that time and believe then that iman is useless. Because the time to believe and do something is now. So in this ayah, what do we learn? That Allah will come. He will arrive Himself. Where? To the place of gathering, where the entire creation is gathered. And angels will also descend from the sky. And the angels will descend in rows. from all of the samawat. The angels will come, they will surround all people. Who will be able to escape? No one. And Allah will also come at that time. وَقَوْلِهِ
And his statement, هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ
Are they waiting except that the angels should come to them? Or that your Lord should come to them? Or that some of the signs of your Lord should come to them? There's three things mentioned over here. The coming of the angels first. Meaning, are they waiting for death? To see the angels, to witness the angels that will come to take their souls? Or are they waiting for Allah to come? And when will that be? On the Day of Judgment. أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ Or are they waiting for some of the signs of your Lord? Signs? Which signs are these? Before the Day of Judgment, the signs of the hour. Like for example, the rising of the sun from the west. Because when that will happen, will Tawbah be accepted? No. Will Iman benefit a person? No. Meaning at that time, if a person changes his ways, it's not going to make a difference. It will be too late. So again in this ayah, what do we learn about? The coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the purpose of judgment.
كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded and crushed. Because this is what will happen to the earth on the Day of Judgment, right? Mountains will be uprooted. The rivers and seas will be put on fire so that all the water, it disappears. It's finished.
وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ
The graves will be upturned, meaning what is hidden inside will come to the surface. And the earth, what will happen to it? The earth has been leveled. دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّنْ دَكَّ Pounded and crushed. So much so, that لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتَى You will not see any bend. Nothing on the earth. It will be flat. How? In hadith we learned that it will be flat and round like a white piece of bread. Bread. You know like when you make a ball of dough and then you flatten it and you roll it out? Then what happens? It's completely smooth. Completely smooth. So much so that if there's something hard inside, it will stick out. So you'll take it out and smoothen it. So the earth will be smooth, like a white piece of bread.
دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا
When the earth is flattened, and all the people, all the creatures are on its surface, people are gathered for the purpose of hisab, then what will happen? They will wait, and then وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ Then your Lord will come.
وَالْمَلَكُ
And the angels will also come. How? صَفًّا صَفًّا The angels will come rank upon rank, in rows. First, the angels of the first sky, they will descend. Then the second sky, they will descend. Then the third sky, they will descend. All the angels will descend like this. And the حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ They will bring the throne. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also arrive in order to begin the judgment.
وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا
And mention the day when the heaven will split open with emerging clouds and the angels will be sent down in successive descent. And obviously, what will happen at that time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also arrive. Now, all of these ayat together, what do we learn? Which sifa? The sifa of Ityan, of Maji'. And we should understand this as a reality. Because when we think about the Day of Judgment, we think, yeah, you know, judgment will take place. There will be such a big crowd and people will hide behind each other. And yes, I will get away this way or that way. All of these ayat put together, they are giving us a serious warning about that day. That realize on that day, you will have nothing because everything will be destroyed. You can hide behind nothing because there is no mountain, no tree, no building, no structure, nothing left. Each person will be scared. So everyone will be running for themselves, running away from each other. You can't hide behind anyone. No one will support you. And your Lord will come. And He will call you to account. He will question you about what you have done. So these ayat are a warning. All of this description that is given over here, it is a warning. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed man will be alone with Allah. A person will be alone with Allah. Meaning Allah will call him to account
when that person will have no lawyer with him, no support, no friend, no relative, nobody. He will be alone. He will look to his right, and he will see nothing except what he has sent forth. And he will look to his left, and will see nothing except what he has sent forth. Meaning on his right, he will find his deeds. On his left, he will find his own deeds. What will he find with himself? Only his actions, not what he accumulated in the world. His actions, his deeds, that is what he will find with him. And he will look before him and will not see anything except the fire confronting his face. Ahead of him will be what? Fire. Therefore, protect yourselves from the fire, even if it is with a piece of a date. You know this famous hadith that we hear about all the time? Save yourself from the fire, وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Even if it is with a half of a date, piece of a date, meaning give anything to save yourself. Because if you do something even this small, on that day, your action will help you. Because your actions will accompany you. With these actions, you will face your Lord. It's up to you what you want to show to your Lord. So what is the effect of this belief? When a person believes that Allah will come to call me to account, to question me about what I have done, Allah will come. And have no doubt about this. Allah will come. Because people think Allah is far, far. And on the Day of Judgment also, He will be far. But all of these ayat, what do they show? He will come. And you will be taken for hisab. We will be taken for hisab individually. One by one. And our deeds accompanying us. The fire in front of us. So this belief, what's the effect of it? It brings about fear in a person, making you more careful. My Lord will come and He will question me. You know, when you realize someone is coming and they're going to examine what you've done. They're coming. When a person expects, you know, some inspector, for example, to come and check what has been done, what happens? They're so conscious. They're so careful. You're given a notice. Within 35 days, you better get this done. Otherwise, an inspector will come and see and check. And if it's not done, your gas will be shut off. Your power will be shut off. How careful we become. How much we take these matters seriously. But when it comes to dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think He's far. No, Allah will come on the Day of Judgment to call people to account. Next, إثبات الوجه لله سبحانه. إثبات. What does إثبات mean? To affirm. The affirmation. Of what? الوجه. The face. لله سبحانه. For Allah exalted He is. Perfect is He. Now this section and the following, إثبات اليدين لله تعالى, hands, and the next one, إثبات العينين, eyes, and the next one, إثبات السمع والبصر. We learned earlier that some صفات of Allah, they're خبرية, meaning we are informed about them, because we cannot see them, we cannot, you know, perceive them ourselves. Allah has informed us about those attributes, and those attributes are His personal attributes, ذاتية, and that include His face, His eyes, His hands, and so on and so forth. وقوله, and His statement, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. وَيَبْقَى, and it will remain, وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ, the face of your Lord. And the face of your Lord, how is it? ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. It is one of عَظَمَةٍ, of magnificence and ikram, nobility. Perfect, noble face. The ayah before this, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. What is the ayah? كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. All who are upon this earth, they are fanin. They are going to die. They're going to finish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord, it shall remain. These two ayat, what do they show to us? The imperfection of the creation. It's evident. And the perfection of the Creator, that is also evident. And this is because they are opposites. One
is bound to die. And what is that? The creation. And the other is everlasting and eternal. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Now remember over here that ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, this is describing وَجْ. This is describing وَجْ, the face of your Lord, which is possessing of جَلَال and إِكْرَام. What is جَلَال? عَظَمَة, greatness, sultan, majesty. إِكْرَام is honor. Now, the face of Allah, we have been informed about it in this ayah and also in the next ayah. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything is going to be destroyed except for his face. So he has a face. And a face is a face. Meaning we cannot change this into something else and say, no, it doesn't mean Allah has a face. It means his pleasure, his approval. No. If Allah has said that he has a face, then we believe that he has a face. Because if he meant his approval, then he could have mentioned that. Just as in other ayat we learn about the rida of Allah, the mahabba of Allah. Could he not have mentioned it like that? Yes. But when he says, waj, then we take it as waj. We will not do ta'til, we will not do tahrif. Now remember, the face is known. However, its description, that is unknown to us. We do not know what his face is like because we have not seen it. And we cannot go on describing it because we cannot describe something that we have not seen. Or something that we have not been informed about. Because you can only talk about something because either you have seen it yourself or you have been informed about it. When we have not seen the face of Allah and we have not been informed about the details of this attribute, then do we have any right to describe it? No. So then what do? We believe and affirm that he has a face that is full of majesty and honor and glory because it is ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. His face is magnificent, it is great, and it possesses marvelous light, great light. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said that حِجَابُهُ نُور. His veil is light. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his noble, his most beautiful face, even that has a veil. Meaning Allah has hidden it. From who? From his creation. Because what is beautiful, most beautiful, it is covered. So, حِجَابُهُ نُور. Light is his hijab. If he uncovers it, meaning if he exposes his face, then the subuhat of his face would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches. How far does Allah's sight reach? It encompasses everything. Nothing is far from Allah. La ya'zubu anhu. It's not hidden from him, even the mithqal of a dharra. Right? And what is ya'zubu? When something is hidden because it is far. You cannot see it because it is far. So nothing is hidden from Allah. So as far as his vision reaches, everything would burn if he would unveil his face. And notice in the hadith, the subuhat of his face. What is subuhat? Brightness, splendor, majesty, greatness. It would burn the entire creation. Now, this is the face of Allah. This is the description that the Prophet ﷺ gave. Just the very glory, just the very light, just the very majesty, the greatness of that face would burn the creation. How could there be any resemblance then between his face and the face of his creation? Could there be any resemblance? No. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. We cannot encompass him in knowledge. So yes, this is an attribute. Face, we believe in it. We do not know how it is, but still we believe in it. And we cannot describe it because we have not seen it and we cannot encompass it in knowledge. Now if you think about it, the face is most important, right? Because the face, it shows happiness, it shows disapproval, it shows approval. So, in certain contexts, yes, the face is understood as also approval, but we cannot generalize that, that it is only approval and not the face. Like in many ayat, we learn, ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ, seeking the face of Allah. Meaning the servant strives, you know, in doing that good deed, in performing that good action. Why? Because he wants to see the face of Allah. He wants to see the face of Allah. Who is it that Allah will show His face to? Who? Those whom He is pleased with. Those whom He is happy with. So, yes, by extension it means approval, but it does not mean only approval. You understand? We have to affirm the face also. We don't equate that with pleasure and approval. Next, إثبات اليدين لله تعالى في القرآن الكريم. إثبات, affirmation of اليدين, the two hands, لله تعالى, for Allah be exalted, في القرآن, in the Quran. Meaning in the Quran, we learn about the hands of Allah. Do we learn about the hands of Allah in hadith? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has done certain actions with His hands. Like for example, He created Adam alayhi salam, how? With His hands. وَقَوْلِهِ, and His statement, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ, what prevented you from prostrating to that which I created with my hands? Allah said this to who? Iblis. When Iblis refused to prostrate to Adam a.s. So how did he describe Adam a.s. over here? لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. You think Adam is less than you? No, he's not. Just look at the very fact that I created him with my own hand. مَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. How much Allah has honored Adam and his children, that Allah created Adam a.s. with His own hands. Could He have created Adam a.s. through some other means? Of course. Without any means also? Yes. He has the power to do that. He has the ability to do that. But when He created Adam with His own hands, what does it show? Honor and love and care. You know, it's like if you are going to your friend's house and you just pick up a cake on the way and you take it there. And the other is, before you go, you prepare some dessert yourself from scratch and then you take it to your friend's house. And you say, I just picked it up, you know, on the way. Or you say, I made it myself. I made it myself. What does it show? Why would you make it yourself? Why? Because you're showing your love. You care. You want to give importance to that friend. Likewise, a guest is coming. You make something yourself. Why? Because you are showing importance to your guest. You want to honor them. Even though you might get better food elsewhere. Right? But why is it that you do something with your own hands? You know, for example, blankets, children's blankets, you can always purchase them. But some people, they will knit the blanket themselves. Right? Why? Because you care about them. So when Allah created Adam a.s. with His own hands, what does it show? His love, His care, the honor that He gave to Adam and the Bani Adam. This is not something ordinary. When Allah made Adam with His own hands, shall we not do something with our own hands for Allah? If He gave us this importance, should we not give importance to Him? How much we do with our own hands? We're working all the time with our own hands, right? Cleaning and writing and cooking and washing. So much. Which is why if you look at your body, what is most used is what? Hands. The fingers, the skin, everything. It shows that these hands have been used a lot. What are these hands used for? In the service of who? This is what we need to see. This is what we need to check ourselves about. Right? مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ, وقوله, and his statement, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ, and the Jews say, Allah's hands are مَغْلُولَةٌ, they're tied up. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, Allah says, no, their hands are tied up. وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا, and they're cursed because of what they said. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبَسُوطَتَانِ, rather his hands are outstretched, they're open. يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, he spends however he wills. The Jews, they mocked at the Muslims and they said, your Lord is asking us for a loan because he is poor. They mocked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, no, Allah's hands are not tied up. He's not poor. He's not stingy. These people who dare to say this about Allah, their hands are tied up. They are stingy. They are poor. وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا, and how are Allah's hands? مَبْسُوطَتَان, open. Meaning, always giving. يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, he's spending, and he spends however he wills. Meaning, from the beginning of the creation, he's giving, giving, giving. To who? To who? Everyone. So much so that if all of the creation gathered up and asked Allah for what they wanted and Allah gave them, it would not reduce His resources at all. It would not reduce His mulk at all. It does not diminish His power, His resources. And who can ever even have an estimate of how much Allah has spent since the beginning of the creation? Can we even have a rough estimate? No. We cannot. Yet, all of that is less than what He has in store. Where? In Jannah. Just think about all that He has given to the people of the world from the beginning of the creation. How much food? How much? How much pleasure? How much enjoyment? So much. We cannot even count it. You know, think about the hijab that you're wearing. How many fibers does it have? How many threads does it have? We can't count it. The clothes that you're wearing, the socks that you're wearing, how many fibers? But and if you want to recognize Allah, just realize Allah knows about every single fiber and He gave it to you. Because sometimes if one string is missing, you know what happens, right? That hijab is destroyed. One thread goes loose and that hijab is ruined, right? You cannot have it if Allah does not give it to you. We think it's only a fiber, it's only a thread. Even that matters. You have it because Allah gave you. يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, He spends however He wills. This is His generosity. And what He has in store in paradise is far greater. It is far better. Far, far better. يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Now, what do we learn from both of these ayat? That Allah possesses hands. In hadith we learn, each of His two hands is right. This is a hadith in Muslim. And in many verses and hadith we learn about two hands. So what do we learn? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses two hands. Now, can we say that hand means power or blessing? Generosity? Now, in the second ayah which is mentioned over here, بَلْيَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ, why does Allah mention His hands over here? To show His generosity. To show His mulk. To show His power. Right? But again, just as we cannot equate reward with happiness, we cannot say they're the same thing. Likewise, we cannot say His hands mean blessing or generosity. No, we cannot say that. Yes, He has hands and He's giving with those hands constantly, which means that He is generous, which means that He shows favors. He has hands and He made Adam with His own hands. He wrote the Torah with His own hands. He planted the trees of Jannat Adn with His own hands, which means He is powerful. That means He cares, He loves His servants. But we cannot say that hands don't mean hands. No, that would be injustice. And you know, what I just mentioned to you right now, we also learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He planted the garden of Adn, Jannatu Adn, with His hands. Just think what that Jannah would be then. How much importance Allah gave to Jannatu Adn. He put its plants Himself. How much He loves that Jannah. how much He will love the servants whom He will admit in that Jannah. How much? How much importance He is giving them. Also, over here, hands are mentioned. Elsewhere, we also learn about qabda. What is qabda? Fist. Right? Fist. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. The entire earth will be in his qabda, in his fist, in his grasp on the Day of Judgment. Likewise, in a hadith, we learn that when a servant gives charity, then Allah accepts it in his right hand. He takes it in his right hand and he nurtures it, just like a person nurtures what? What? Complete the hadith. A baby horse, a foal. He takes care of it. He nurtures it, looks after it. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures and causes to grow that sadaqah which a person has given. Because sometimes you give something away and you're worried, nobody's going to take care of it, it's going to get destroyed. It's going to get wasted. No, if you've given it for Allah, Allah will preserve it. In fact, Allah will make it grow. And that hadith continues, then until it becomes like a mountain. Meaning so much bigger, so much more bigger. So Allah, إِثْبَاتُ الْيَدَيْنِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ. He possesses hands. And this is which kind of sifa? Sifa? ذَاتِيَّة. Okay? خَبَرِيَّة meaning ذَاتِيَّة. Attribute that we know of because He has informed us about it. And it is His personal attribute. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته